March 22nd, 2016, is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro show here in my pad. Pedro, Brother Matt's in Mexico, so we're separated. But via Skype, I got here Barrence Whitfield. Barrence, where are you talking from?
I'm talking from my Amazon Kindle at home. How do you like technology, huh?
What town?
I'm in Beverly, Massachusetts.
Beverly, Massachusetts.
I'm right next to a famous town called Salem.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember going through there or passing near there on a few of my tours. Well, I got to say what we played. We just played Mama Get the Hammer, Barrence Whitfield and the Savages. And before we started off the show with Village Blues by John Coltrane. Now, Barrence, what's your earliest music memory?
My earliest music memory, I'll tell you. Okay. It's funny you bring that up because yesterday I had this on my mind. I said, you know, the first 78 record I was able to play on an old Victrola in my house. Actually, it was one of those stereo things with that stereo record players that had a 78 player.
Sure.
But it was a song by a woman named Jo Stafford, and it was called Adi Adios Amigo. And that was the first thing I heard when I was about 7 years old. And I played that 78 to death.
Okay. Was that in Massachusetts there?
No, that was in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
A place called Newark.
Oh, yeah. The town across the water from the other big town.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you love this record. You play it all the time, huh?
Yeah, well, that was one of the first vinyl things that I don't know how it got into my house, but it was in there. And then next thing you know, from Jo Stafford to James Brown.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Was there music in the house? Did they, family?
Yeah, my father was a nice, was a jazz guy. You know, he was one of my mentors to play music in the house. You know, he played things for me. And then I had an uncle who was in the entertainment business who played a lot of jazz. So I got to listen to a lot of stuff. And he actually took me to one of my first jazz shows at Carnegie Hall. I went and saw Duke Ellington.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
But I fell asleep halfway through this show.
How old were you?
And then he took me home. He told my mom, that's it. No more jazz shows for him. He fell asleep on the Duke. That's not good.
No. I fell asleep at a Rush gig. Well, actually twice, 30 years apart. How old were you at this Duke Ellington gig?
I think I was almost close to 17.
Okay, teenager. High school. So, start playing instruments young?
Was what now?
Learn any kind of instruments when you were young?
No, man. I was, well, drums a little bit, but I was pretty much a singer going to church. Singing in the gospel choir, and I couldn't get away from that because the church was right across the street from my house, so it was almost like the reverend was standing out in front of the church every Sunday morning looking towards my window. So,
so that's where you
I couldn't get away from it.
Where you learned to sing was in church. A lot of people in the old rock and rolls, it seems.
Pretty much. That was
it seems a lot of people learned how to sing in church, you know, in the older days.
Well, you know, the church, I'll tell you, the church was a big, in the community, that was the big thing, you know. Everybody in the community went to church.
Yeah.
So it was a thing where that's where, you know, you got your kind of like your beginnings of, you know, socializing with people and learning the gospel and
sure.
All kinds of other stuff. So it was interesting to have that in the neighborhood. And if you noticed, throughout history of African American music, almost I would say close to 90% of your famous artists, singers, whatever, it came out of the church.
The church. everybody's singing along, maybe not so scary. You get a lot of motion feeling. It makes sense to me. Do you remember, that's in church and that kind of setting, but when did you remember the first time you thought of, hey, I want to sing for people, not in church, like your uncle, an entertainer?
Well, he took me a lot of, he wasn't much of a, he was an entertainer, but he wasn't like a singer. What he did was he held up tables and wooden tables and chairs with his teeth.
Damn.
That's why he called him Lockjaw.
Okay.
But my first time of ever wanting to play music in front of people was, I was interested in doing a lot of stuff, I watch people on TV. I watch all the old shows, and I'd say, well, I wonder how that would be. And singing in front of people that were screaming and acknowledging that you were good, So, I don't know, just about the time of, the late 60s into the 70s with, I ran it with some guys in high school, and we were big funkadelic bands.
Yeah.
So we put together.
He came out of New Jersey, right, George Clinton?
Yeah, he was out of New Jersey. As a matter of fact, he worked at the barbershop for a little while. I grew up in the neighborhood I grew up in, right on the corner of Springfield Avenue and Beacon Street.
Wow. Because I talked to Billy Bass. He told me, he was. The band started kind of in a barbershop. Did processes or something.
Right. I know I can see the barbershop in my, I can close my eyes and see the barbershop, but it was a local one. Everybody got their hair conked. And I'll tell you, those conks, man, when they started doing those processes.
Yeah.
Man, you can smell the rotten egg all through the shop.
Strong. You guys were Funkadelic Parliament fans. They decided to make a band.
Yeah, so we loved it, and then we decided to make a band, and we called ourselves the Funkasonics.
The Funkasonics, all right. Do you remember your first gig?
That was my first little introduction to singing in front of people and getting some accolade, as they call it.
Right. Do you remember the first gig?
It was at a little YMCA place in East Orange, New Jersey, and all I just remember is the first song was I'll Bet You. Which is off the first Funkadelic album. And we started doing the routines like the Funkadelic,
singing.
Yeah, doing the steps and everything.
Yeah, great. Was it scary?
It was pretty much jamming. We did some, Marvin Gaye and Smokey Robinson and stuff like that. So it was fantastic. I had a really good time doing it. So.
Wow, so you were hooked.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Okay, I want to play this song here, Walking with Barrett's. What can you tell me about that tune?
Well, I can tell you it's based on a song called Walking with Frankie by a guy named Frankie Lee Sims.
Okay. Here we go.
from the sky, some inch across the ground. Their bent backs turned to all heaven above sends down. Scratch and puff from this earth, what gold it may give. Fattening on feasts to come, laboring now to live. And America's a hard religion, not just anyone may endure. America is a hard religion, some never do surrender. Sent to a savage land, mother knows not why. To plant a seed in rocky soil and perhaps to die. Freedom come it may to this child instead. Freedom comes, freedom goes, father is surely dead. And America's a hard religion, not just anyone may enter. America is a hard religion, some never do surrender. To test our hearts, doubts to make us strong. Cheered by loved ones that from the graveyard say, all my tears surely gone after I fly away. And America's a hard religion, not just anyone may enter. America's a hard religion, some never do surrender.
When I've had a thousand women waiting just for you, waiting for you to feel better, waiting for you to be back. I will have made a thousand smiles just looking at your eyes, doing nothing together, joking about your teeth. I will have kissed a thousand lips and said a thousand lies. It's really nothing I'm proud of. Don't pretend to be right. I've lied a thousand times with women I can tell us. But sometimes just the moment those are too heavy to come. God, oh Lord, silently as I could. Feel better, waiting for you to be back. All the years we spent together are a thousand miles from now. But trust me, it's all the same for me. It was, it will be. God, oh Lord, silently as I could. I wonder if it's the same for you. I can. Can my dear hug me, 'cause I'm gone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We heard Barrett's Whitfield and Savages doing Walking with Barrett's. A nod to Frankie Sims, right? Then we had a label mate, Robbie Folks, sent me a new disc, America's Hard Religion. And Ruido MM with Chroma Key. There's some Brazilian cats. I was in Austin last week for South by Southwest one night.
Oh.
And these Brazilian guys, I'd seen them before, and they turned me on to new music by them. Then Tom Fichetti with Ocean. Spiel Gusher, The Threshold of Transgression. Richard Meltzer. Something brand new from Cartavetto Vetro. Untold. Out of Genoa. Wedding Kittens with Funky Seven. Familia Miranda from their new album Bolero. They're out of Barcelona. Z Trigueros, Pontal, and finally Big Crux with Lamento Demente. So, when Funkasonics started out, you guys were doing covers. Did you, when did you want to start writing your own tunes?
Well, actually, I was not much of a writer. I was more like Frank Sinatra. I just like to go out there and interpretate.
Yeah, but nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
So my writing was kind of limited, but I hooked up with some great guys, you know, who was energetic into writing stuff, like Peter Greenberg, who was my guitar player on the very first two Savages albums, and you know, he did a lot of the writing, and also Phil Lenker, my bass player. So, you know, I kind of relied heavy on those guys to come up. And most of the times we were coming up with a lot of covers, you know, like, because we're all record fanatics, so we were going to record collections and looking for, you know, things that things that nobody had ever heard of, like I said, Bip Bop Bip and Walking with Barrons,
yeah.
And you know, stuff like that, and all of it went over very well. So then Peter wrote a couple of tunes on the side there to make it sound, you know, make kind of like the stuff that we were doing fit in with all the covers. So.
Okay, what about between Funkasonics and the Savages?
In between there, believe it or not, I was I was in this band in New Jersey, and believe it or not, I was doing everything from Led Zeppelin's immigrant song to Genesis' Watchers of the Sky.
Oh, man.
King Crimson, the Court of the Crimson King, to Sparks, Timon. At the time where I didn't do a lot, I wasn't doing a lot of soul stuff, but yeah. I was experimenting, listening to a lot of things, you know, from prog rock to Zappa to Zeppelin and all that stuff. So I got off the beaten path for a little while.
Yeah. That sounds like 70s. Was it?
That was the 70s.
It was the 70s. Okay.
And I was being introduced to a lot of stuff, and you know, I still listen to the funk music and all that, but, you know, I was being drawn to something that was interesting to me at the time.
Okay. And then what, you kind of lost interest, and you met the Savages, and the guys who ended up being in the Savages, and that's coming back to the soul music.
Yeah, just coming back, you know, that was in the 80s, and they were more of on a garage.
Yeah, right, kind of. The Liars, right?
Huh?
There's a connection with some of them with the Liars. L-Y-R-E-S.
The guitar player was in the Liars and DMZ. And the first Savage band I had Holly Ferguson on drums, who played with the Real Kids.
Yeah, right. And old Boston scene.
And Phil, the bass player, played with the Liars. And yeah, so I had a Liars, you know, Real Kids. So I had a really nice cult following, you know, when I joined that band, because they'd already had the audience that had seen them. So sure. I was being introduced to that audience.
But that's Massachusetts, right? So you must have left New Jersey.
Yeah, I left New Jersey to go to school, to go to BU. To
get Okay. That makes good sense.
Yeah, I wanted to become a journalist.
Wow. There was a club right near there called the Paradise.
Yes, I played there.
Kind of a comedy club, but they did music too.
Yeah, you know, Boston was deep in the muddy when it comes to clubs during that time. I mean, I'm sure every city in the 80s and the late 70s had clubs that a lot of bands could play at. Any time you wanted to go see music, you can do it. Yeah. And that's how Boston was. Boston was a cavalcade of, I mean, there'd be one night you see the Liars, you could see who else at the time, Real Kids, you could see Thunder Train, you could see Robin Lane, the Chart Bus. I mean, there was just so
Scruffy
many.
Scruffy the Cat.
Hmm?
Do you remember that band, Scruffy the Cat?
Oh, yeah, good friends of mine.
Yeah,
good
they were
friends
in that scene, too. Yeah.
We played with them a bunch of times. So, yeah, you know, there was just so many. Del Fuego.
Right.
The Maddox.
Human Sexual Response.
Human Sexual Response, I saw a bunch of times. I mean, Boston was just a cavalcade, just a thickness of bands, I mean, and good bands, too.
Yeah. Quite a scene. A lot of them didn't end up touring, though, so it was hard for us on the West Coast to see those, but I remember reading about them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys? Do you remember your first tour?
My first tour, I think we went, well, it wasn't much of a tour. I think we went to Washington, D.C. Well, first we went to New York.
Okay.
And our first band that opened up for us was a band called James White and the Blacks.
All right. They were called the Contortions sometimes.
Yeah.
I saw him a couple years. He's still around. He's still playing.
I guess he is. I mean, I've been hearing his name bust around New York City. But, you know, that was our first one of our early shows. I know another time we played Folk City.
Oh, yeah, Bob Dylan's first gig.
Actually, that might have been the first gig, Folk City.
The Minutemen.
And then
played
James White.
I know that club.
Yeah, it was right across the street from a jazz club called the Blue Note, which
That's
is still
right.
there, of course.
Wow. So what was it like to play in another town?
It was interesting. I was from New Jersey, so going back kind of home, it was really interesting. We got some really cool people to come out to see us. A couple of the coolest people you'll ever want to know were Billy and Miriam from Norton Records.
Okay, absolutely.
They were the coolest. They were the first to acknowledge the fact. They're the ones that heard me sing. I used to do the Collins Kids Whistle Bait.
Yeah.
And I used to use the, yeah, whistle bait. He's a one for me, he's a whistle bait. When he first heard me sing that, I said, oh, my God, you almost sound like Larry Collins, and you're not even 13.
And then you guys went down to D.C. Where'd you play, 930
Club? 930
Club,
and what was the name? I can't remember the name of the band. You probably could. I can't remember them now, but, yeah, we did some. And became a very, very cult item of DC's playing down there. It was fantastic, you know. And, we didn't get too far with the first band, Savages. We stayed pretty much on the East, you know, on the East Coast. And then, in 1986, I think the band, when Peter left the band, and then the band just broke up, and then I put together, we got together with a bunch of other Savages and finished out from 1986 to 95. I had these guys playing with me, guys, Milton Reeder, Dave Scholl. Dave Scholl wrote this great tune for us called Stop Twisting My Arm, which was a Savage favorite for a long, long time, and we toured all over Europe and America and stuff like that. And so that version of the Savages broke up about 1995.
So the second version was the one that really got you around as far as playing different places.
Yeah, it was we did three records for Rounder.
Rounder.
And I think Rounder Records.
Right,
out
which
of,
is out of Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, that was out of Cambridge. They were very good to us. They started off being like a, how can I say, roots kind of label. They did bluegrass, they did folk and stuff like that. And they took a chance on us, man. I mean, the good story about that is they came to see us at a frat party at Tufts University, full of beer, wild women, wild guys going, you know, taking their clothes off. They're standing in a foot, almost ankle inch of beer in this room, and you know, we said, "Oh my God, they're never going to sign us now because they we're nothing but a bunch of wild guys playing wild rock and roll." And 2 weeks later, we go to their office and they said, "We would like to sign you guys to a 3-record deal."
Wow!
And this was with Peter and them, and Peter and Phil and Howie and them. And we couldn't believe they said they want to sign us after seeing what they normally see bands that play banjos and fiddles.
I let it trip. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. We'll watch from Pedro Show, March 22nd, 2016, with my guest, Barron Whitfield, via the Skype out of Massachusetts. Hold tight for hour two. March 22nd, 2016. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
A triple message, keep those demons at bay. My face keeps twitching, but I'm doing okay. I'm a diamond, there's so little to say. Just keep the lemons out of my tangerine. I sang this melody, I wrote this for you. I quit your rhapsody, now I'm feeling blue. Just make this up and now you know that I can.
Sunrise, beginning to fly. I really love packing up and driving and leaving it all behind, taking off in a rush and flying, traveling oh so far, down distant dynamite highways, past the morning star. Music is the thing and you line it up, coffee for a fling and it is there in your cup. And I'm still driving, driving, jamming and viewing things, going to see a good friend, speeding away the miles till the CD's end and I finally make it. Doing right at the wheel, hold her steady and true, and you are highway jamming, not bad, just flying along, waiting for that highway to end on a song. feeling that driving is all right, another journey done right.
Your own electric suit. So keep the
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Baron Swiftfield and the Savages doing Oscar Levant. And then Joe Brewer with a poem called Highway Jamming. Okay, Gladys is from Bill's Pump saw John Vanskamp Austin last week. Then the band Bilge Pump out of Leeds, I got to play with them last year and doing a song called Observe My Crazy Arms. And Entertainment Law with Reprieve. Is that a name for a band? Entertainment Law. All right. And Paralyzed from Mario DeSandro. Very Important Mission, Waterlanding. John Truby, Many Whores Copulate for Money. Jeez. Derby Girl by James Rocker. Barrett.
Yeah.
So, those three albums you made for Rounder, did you approach them all three the same? You went in there with like tunes you've been playing at gigs, or did you go into the studio and write there?
Yeah, with the Rounder record, Dig Yourself, we were doing tunes that we were doing live, and it was quite the record we did. I mean, we were doing some covers.
Yeah.
But also we wrote this great tune, which has become a symbolized the Baron Whitfield logo, was a tune called Bloody Mary. Ah. Which was written by Phil Lanker.
Sure.
And that's the one song that has probably kept me kept the gas flowing in my tank.
Okay. Then you went to Bloodshot. More recently, right?
1995 and 2009 is when I was just doing a lot of stuff, going over to Europe, you know, touring and stuff like that. And then finally, I got a call from Peter, because the Ace Records in London put together the first album. They reissued it on CD. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, there was some interest, and I talked to Peter on the phone, who we hadn't talked to each other for about 26 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 26 years we stayed like, he was doing his own thing, working, you know, putting together a family and stuff like that. Phil did the same thing. And so he was located in New Mexico, in Taos. Now he lives in Albuquerque. And we were talking about, you know, the release of the first album, because he owned the tapes and stuff like that. And he said he was playing in a band, because, you know, he hadn't played guitar in a very, very long time. He put his guitar away, and he felt like he wanted to get back to doing it.
Wow.
So I'm with this band called Mambi's Head out of New Mexico. And I said, well, if you ever need a singer, I'll come out there and jam with you. And he said, oh, all right. Then 2 weeks later, I get a call. Hey, Barons. I got some gigs together. I called Phil. Come on out. We're gonna play. And I go, oh, okay. So we go out to New Mexico, did some dates with these other guys he found in New Mexico, and then we sat in his house for a few days, and we looked at each other and said, you know what? I think we should do this again. I think there's some energy here. We need to return back to the form we left back in 1986. And so we all said, yeah, why not? We'll show those young runts that we can play rock and roll with the best of them.
Sure.
And so, you know, we got a couple of new guys, Tom Quartulli and Andy Jody, sax and drums, respectively. And we rehearsed Peter went to University of Cincinnati, has a degree there, knew a lot of people, so we went down there and rehearsed, played some dates down there, and I got a friend of mine who wanted to put in Spain, because we needed a label to put out some new music.
Yeah.
And so I said, let me start with Europe first. So I called this label called Munster Records in Madrid.
Sure.
And then we put out the record, what was the record called? Savage Kings? Yeah. And that came out, and then we got a chance to, we said, oh, that was pretty good. We went to Europe and played some dates, and then we said, we need an American label. So everyone was telling you, you should try Bloodshot in Chicago. They're great people, blah, blah, woof, woof. So we gave a call to Bloodshot, and come to find out one of the owners of the label was a big Savages fan. Couldn't believe that I was on the phone calling about looking for a label and wanted to put some new music.
That's great.
So, bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. And then, next thing you know, we're in the studio putting out their first album, Dig Thy Savage Soul, which one of the songs you played off it was Oscar Levant.
That's right. We start off the second hour here. What about Turn Your Damper Down?
Oh, that's a... I think that's a... is that a Lazy Lester? No. That's a... it's a guy from Excello. Can't think of his name at the moment. Jerry McCain.
Okay.
Who also did Too Hot. Yeah, that Too Hot, Turn Your Damper Down. Yeah, he's a funky little guy.
Well, let's listen to it right now.
Cosmonaut, new age, space cadet, fully automatic engineer, robot, astro, techno, psycho, cosmonaut, new age, space cadet, fully automatic engineer, robot.
I can be anything, even a cosmonaut. An astro, techno, psycho, space cadet, I never forgot. Your space adjustment, that final flight, time travels like galactic right. Atom split, new life ignites, my wings take flight. I'm too far gone, what I leave behind I love. But the pain of the earth is worse than drugs. Disconnected, disattached, unplugged, the machine's got bugs. Watch your movement, you're so consumed. Mark the zoom in, the right costume, to watch the earth set. Before full speed, so wherever the flag goes next. So this trip won't be in vain. I'll send back for you if the start is tame. And I'll explain on the nature rain. One shot to the heart and brain. This mission won't be compromised. Those lies, no more in the skies. I'll rise in the name of the Most High.
Astro, techno, psycho, cosmonaut, new age, space cadet, fully automatic engineer robot. Astro, techno, psycho, cosmonaut, new age, space cadet, fully automatic engineer robot.
The possibilities in the outer space.
Electrifying.
The possibilities, the possibilities. The possibilities in the outer space.
Tom Verlaine.
Thick with night of sweet.
you feel low? No. Huh? But I just fell right into the arms of the Venus de Milo. Thoughts are like some new kind of drug. My senses feel so sharp and my hands are like gloves. And you know, I feel. Did I feel low? No. Huh? Because I fell right into the arms of the Venus de Milo. Eyes were quite so shaky. I felt pain, but you know, pain is not aching. And right then Richard said, "Hey man, think of what we could do. We could dress up like cops. We could do something. We could do something. Something." I turned to him and I cried out, "Please stop." And then I fell. Did I feel low? No. I just got up, walked out of your arms. The Venus to me alone. Turn Your Damper Down, Barrett's Whitfield and the Savages. And we had Slippers and Asalone doing Cosmonaut. Pudge doing Slawmouth. Peter Laughter and Don Harvey doing Venus to Venal. Peter Laughter and early Perubu out of Cleveland there. Salvation with Medusa, Coma in Algiers, February, and finally Uzbadoma, Stropi. Okay, back with Barrett. So, where did you recorded that thing in Cincinnati? The Savage Soul. Is that right?
Yeah, we recorded at the studio Ultra Suede, which is owned by a gentleman who he's in the Afghan wigs.
Oh, Greg Dooley?
No, not Greg Dooley. He's the bass player. Oh, geez, they're gonna kill me. They're gonna kill me if I don't remember his name. But that's all right. I'm in space right now, but he knows what I'm talking about.
The Afghan Wigs are from Cincinnati, but Greg Dooley's lived out here a long time.
Okay, Curly is his name.
So where did you... What's his name?
John Curley.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You did this Under the Savage Sky, did you do it at the same place?
Say they did it at the same studio, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So you like it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that studio has a history. It put out a song by the big hit came out of that studio was More Bounce to the Ounce.
Wow!
So it does have a little bit of history.
That's got track record.
But it's a great studio. It's we can freely do whatever we can there, and John's a great guy, and he lets us.
Did the second one take longer to do than the first one?
No, about the same time. We were there for a couple of weeks.
Okay. So no pressure. It's very relaxed.
Very relaxed. No pressure. We can, you know, rehearse stuff. We can learn a few things if need be.
Sure.
And, you know, it's we go in there. But it's intense work, and I'm telling you, when we lock those doors, man, our brains and our bodies and everything are locked into recording the music.
Yeah. That's commitment. So you'd say these days you record different than when you first were doing albums.
We pretty much, all the times we record live. Uh-huh. Live in the studio, all in the same room,
You sing with the band as they're playing. Oh, phone, just a second. What?
Okay, nope.
Melinda. You're on your way. I'm doing my radio show right now, Melinda. Not now. A little later. Call me, okay? Out. That was my sister. She wanted to come cut my hair. I'm doing the radio show. Sorry, Barnes.
You got a nice sister there. She's...
Yeah. She cut hair, you know, in a salon for many years. And then she went to school at the same time, so she's a teacher, but she still does the... Yeah, if you're doing cutting hair a lot, using the scissors a lot, it starts hurting your hand after years. Also, the chemicals, these ladies, remember, like the stuff for the conks. So she changed kind of job, but she still does some, on the weekends, some of her older customers, and, her brother, she's there.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. That's very wonderful.
We're at the end of the second hour, March 22nd, 2016, Dish of Wild from Pedro Show. Yes, Barrett's Whitfield back soon. Hold tight for hour three. March 22nd, 2016, it's the third hour. The Watt from Pedro Show. Blackjack.
you blister me, baby. You're blessing me, baby.
for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Baroness Whitfield and the Savages doing Blackjack. What can you tell me about that?
Blackjack is an instrumental written by Phil Lanker in the thing where the song is, you know, it's just like your typical 50s or 60s instrumental, mm-hmm. rave up.
Yeah, rave up. That's what I was going to say.
But I was going to say the tune itself is about playing poker.
Oh, and not 21?
Nah, that's kid stuff.
Okay. Then we heard part 3 of 5, Evolutionary Squalor by Liquor Ball. That had Steve McKay and who was on the bass? Marlon. Yeah. Then Fallon Kaufman. So far, it's still here. Scrabian. And Fallon was with me when we did that tribute to help Steve McKay's wife. So sad. When you're losing people, you know, Barrett's is tough. I 10.5 years I played with that man. It's hard to lose.
Real?
Yeah. But that's part of the journey, you know, meeting people, but then, yeah, losing them. David Nesselhoff with Co-Operator after that, Fuck Shima Farmer, Live Cosmodrone, Chocolate Jesus Basho, and finally, I think that's for Easter, and Dionysus, Shy Squad. So, have you done a big tour for Under the Savage Sky yet?
We did, this past fall, we, did some dates, in, late August and September in the States. And then we went to Europe for 7.5 weeks.
Wow.
Played like
big one
everywhere that ISIS didn't follow us.
Okay. It was a good time. It's a great record. I played, you know, we're not playing any of this, record on this show, because I've already played every one of the songs. I really like it.
Oh, there you go.
I really like it. It's really happening.
Thank you.
Whose idea was the liner notes? You know, you don't see bands doing that anymore.
Old friend of ours who is a great writer, John Swenson, who I think he wrote a Bill Haley book. From way back in, I think, in the 80s, and he writes for a couple of blogs and newspapers in New Orleans and New York. He's really a great writer, and he's still a good friend of ours. And when he loves going down to New Orleans, and being in New Orleans is like for him like his own playground. But he's a fantastic writer, and we always used him. And I told him to write something exciting, write something that will people will read it, and it'll give their heads a bang.
Yeah.
And I thought that he pulled it off, man.
You know, in the older days, all the albums had liner notes. It's trippy how that went away.
I know. You know what it is? I think
what
people don't. The time, because it's all now on internet music, or they're downloading stuff, or even with CDs. I mean, nobody has time to read liner notes about something that's interesting. I mean, it's just not a thought process. It's like, I mean, I always thought, and probably you, when growing up, man, when we got our first record, we couldn't wait to not only hear it, but read what the person that wrote on the liner notes had to say about the record.
Absolutely, that's a lost form. What can you tell me about Ship Sailed at Six? That's what I want to play next.
That's a Peter Greenberg song, and you know, I guess it's one of those chaotic rock and roll songs that everyone should do in their prime.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen to it right now.
Thank you. got a new T-shirt, huh?
Right and straight.
It better be sure her best hot body's over.
Right and straight.
Lefty is a go-head, daddy bottom there in a...
Dark and straight.
His wife is pressing now, sell new cars in now.
Rich and straight.
Out on the high plane, borrowed up the pile of lawn.
I'm
too Ronnie handed me.
Well,
let it fall. Our sides it fluff, we smoked his piss. His side back swept, fixed his face and bliss. His eyes rolled back, his neck closed, friend.
The boss is pimp,
make the scene.
Play straight and face his face. Really bad and sad, oh, feel
seen. Chop a long down, slide away from the mill. Wanna smith so good, just so it
doesn't end. I think that's it, Robin, right in the business.
Ronnie went along,
riding past
Riggins, riding crossroads of the universe.
Ah, you have been robbing Ronnie Riggins, Milton Randall. Ah, you have been robbing Ronnie Riggins, Milton Randall.
Randall, Randall,
I lose my blue.
Sailed at six. Barrett's Whitfield, yep. The Savages. Rapid Ronnie, the March mix from Bloodshot Bill. After that, doo-wop song for Private Instigators. Reverend Circle with Lost Control. Total Eclipse with Dynamite. And finally, the Extract with Lantern. What future plans you got, Barrett?
Well, we're going to be in May. We're going on tour with the Great Sonics and the Woggles, and we're doing a 25 city tour all over the country from May 5th to about June the 5th.
Wow. With the Sonics. How'd that happen?
Well, last year we did some dates with the Sonics that went off just like, it was just a great experience, and just to play with a band that you never thought in your lifetime you'd even meet, let alone get on stage and one night do Psycho with them, you know? So it's like, it was fabulous, man. And I hope you can come out and check out the show if you're around.
In May, you're going to be in SoCal. You know what day?
I know I'm going to be in. Wait, you're out in.
I'm in
West
the harbor
Coast.
Of Los Angeles. It's called San Pedro.
Oh. Well, we're going to be in L.A. at the Regent Theater.
Oh, okay.
It's in May, I know that, but you can check our schedule and find out. But I would love not only to meet you, because I want to tell you I've always been a great fan of your music, and but just I think we have something in common, is the gift of gab when it comes to talking about music.
Yeah.
What be jazz, blues, or whatever. And I think I have a few other things I'd love to turn you on to, so that's enough.
Okay, I'll come. You know, if it's May, I'll be in. Yeah, I'll be here. I won't be away if it's in May.
So I'd
love to come see the band and with the Sonics. Wow. You know,
you're
I was
gonna
in,
love it.
In October. I was in Tacoma, and I think keyboard player still lives there. Guy was telling me. You know, do you have younger people coming up to you asking for advice about this endeavor?
What about music?
Yeah.
Always, and I just tell them, you know, I tell them is, I love the life I live because I live the life I love.
Those are good words to live by.
You know, and I just tell them, you know, whatever your ambitions or your love takes you, you do it, because you never know. One day you'll be sitting down somewhere and you'll say, man, I wish I could have done that, but now I can't.
You're talking regrets.
Yeah, so it's something that I've been very, very fortunate to do and love. And been able to meet people like you and people all over the world. I mean, it's been great to be on this planet with all the other crazy stuff happening around us, whether you watch TV or not. But I'll tell you one thing: music still lives and breathes in the hearts of men and women and children.
Absolutely, I think that's great advice, or kind of like a creed, huh?
Well, if you want to take it as a creed, just stamp it on your chest. if you want, get a tattoo.
I got one tattoo. It's a number. It's very small. It's on the back of my one of my arms, so I can't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little number. It was my 47th birthday, so I had the guy, here, put the number 47 here. So my brother, I have a half-brother 30 years younger, and he got one with my father's initials, our father.
Right.
And I thought, well, I should be in solidarity with him, but I didn't know what to do. And, you know, I grew up in Navy housing, all kinds of tattoos, so, yeah, I did a little one. But I will have that stamped on my chest. Live the life you love.
I love the life I live. To live the life I love. It's actually a song.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, yeah. If you can sing it, if you can dance to it, that's a big part of it. But
yeah,
I like the reason too that you
I mean,
behind.
As long as you can move. I've gone to concerts where, you know, people are just standing there like the Statue of Liberty, and I go, I said, you wouldn't do that at a James Brown show.
No.
Or a Funkadelic show.
No. Get off your ass and jam.
That's right.
Get off your ass. I remember at one of the P-Funk gigs I went to, that was the chant. Shit, goddamn, get off your ass and jam.
That's right.
Barrons, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's a huge honor for me.
Well, thank you.
I promise I'll come meet you when you come play here in a couple months.
I want to see you there. I'm serious. You're on the guest list, brother.
Thanks so much.
So heavy.
Thank you so
much. All right, then. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
People, it's been March 22nd, 2016 edition of Watt for Peter Show with special guest Barrons Whetfield. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.